what would Christmas be without the Christmas carols and holiday songs? If you've been in the stores, maybe a little saner. You hear the same ones repeating over and over again. If you listen to the news, maybe it'd be a little more PC, politically correct, because some songs are now no longer. Anyway, I'm not going there. But I do want to play a little game. This is class participation time. All right, the game is Name That Christmas Song. All right, I'll read a line from a well-known holiday song, and then if you know the title to it, just go ahead and shout it out. All right, you ready? We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Sleigh ride, yes, all right. Okay, when we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate to go out in the storm, but if you really... Let us know. Man, you guys are good. Decorations of red on a green tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. Blue Christmas. Thank you very much. Please have some mistletoe and presents under the tree. I'll be home for Christmas. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree. Oh, yeah. Okay, for those of you that might have struggled with some of this, this one is an easy one. Hopefully you can get it because it's actually it's in it, okay? All I want for Christmas is you. All I want for Christmas is you. All right, hey, give yourselves applause, yeah. Now, did you notice a theme in all these songs? Valentine's Day may get all the glory for being a holiday of love, but it's pretty clear that Christmas holds a corner on the market of the season of love and romance. In fact, American Wedding Study, conducted by Brides Magazine, not that I read Brides Magazine, but I'm familiar with it. A couple years ago, researchers found out that a full 19% of all engagements occur in December, making it the most popular month to get engaged. And can you guess what is the most popular day to pop the question? Christmas Eve, yeah. December 24th, 1997, I handed Dana my grandmother's engagement ring and asked her to marry me. She got mad at me. She got mad at me because I had given her a ring, and she said, I don't want a ring because we're going to Mongolia as a missionary. And then I told her it was my grandmother's, and I didn't have to buy it, and she was okay with it. So, and then she said yes. Data released by Facebook a couple years ago shows that Christmas Eve is the most popular day to get engaged, followed by Christmas Day, then New Year's Day, and then Valentine's Day. And there's certainly nothing wrong with celebrating love during this season. If someone gets engaged on Christmas Eve, we'll all wholeheartedly celebrate with them. But depending on where you find yourself in regard to romantic relationships at the moment, all this love in the air can bring happiness and expectations or loneliness and isolation. Either way, too much focus on cuddling in the cold and meeting under the mistletoe can bring us away from the real love story of Christmas. So my challenge this morning is that we don't miss the true story of love this season. This is the love story that has been written for all of us. The story of true, faithful, unending, sacrificial love. God's love is sending Jesus so that we who were once enemies with him could be made right. This is the challenge that we face every day, to live in light of this love. Love has been God's story from the beginning. From the moment of creation, God's love was part of the fabric of our world. God's love was with Adam and Eve in the garden both before and after sin entered the world. God showed his love by saving Noah and his family from the flood and giving them a new start. In the Old Testament, God's commandments and law were given in love as a way to help show his people how to atone for their sins and stay connected with him. And his love turned the world inside out when he sent his son to live among us, the God of the universe, to be born in a stable, to die on a cross, to rise again from the grave. It took love to disrupt and overturn the powers of death and evil. The story is not about a feeling, though. It is God's story of love in action. How the God of the universe loves you so much that he left everything in order to be with you, to sacrifice his life, that you could be with him. This love is the gift of Christmas we'll unwrap this morning. Ever been with children when they unwrap Christmas gifts? That excitement? Yeah. You could just feel it. Once they get past the stage of just playing with the paper, you know, I mean, there's an age where it's just like optimum prime there. The excitement of ripping off the paper and quickly replaced by the opening of the box and actually playing with whatever toy or game is on the inside. The worst thing that would in the world that could happen, though, is to open the box only to discover batteries not included. Or even worse, some adult setup required. All we want to do is unwrap it and dive into it. So let's unwrap this gift of love and dive right into it. So what do we do with this gift of love? Like any gift, we must accept it. We must accept it. If I'm going to guess, if I were to say to you the reference John 3:16, even if it hadn't just been up on the screen a moment ago, most of you would probably know it. In fact, many of you already have it going through your head again right now. But just in case you missed it on the screen, let me say it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The problem is sometimes we are so familiar with this verse that we can recite it and look right past it. But God's love in sending Jesus is the one love that changes everything. We know the verse so well that we can overlook it, and if we're not careful, this was the ultimate gift and act of sacrificial, holy, complete, and infinite love. The message of this verse is the core of what we believe. So it makes sense to unwrap the gift of love today. We should start at the center. God loved the world. God gave his Son. When we accept the gift and believe in him, we are given life. We're given his life. We're given salvation. We're given eternal life. So the first thing we do with a gift of God's love is so basic, it's easy to overlook. We must accept it. Notice I said basic, not easy. For some of you here today, this step of accepting the gift of God's love and believing in Jesus may be very difficult. It may be something you've struggled with for a long time. It may be a brand new idea for you. Or maybe a gift you've neglected for a while. Maybe you feel unlovable. Maybe you've been burned by human love too many times to trust that there's something greater. Maybe you think, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the dark secrets and doubts and fears and pain on the inside. Maybe I don't. But God does. And he offers this love to you. And he knows and he understands. And he wants you to experience and to receive this love. The love that God offers in Jesus Christ. No matter what challenges or hurts you hold, God's love can handle them and heal them. Wherever you are on your journey, it's okay. God knows. He understands. He has his response is open arms and perfect love, drawing you in, drawing you forward. Wherever you are, I encourage you to accept the gift of God's love. Let this season of Advent be one of accepting the love and salvation God offers in His Son. But not only must we accept it, not only do we need to accept this love, we need to experience His love. During this season of Advent, may we all accept and experience the love of God deeply. It's easy to be distracted by all the things that need to get done in the next few weeks. I'm so grateful for Dana because they're already done. But there's the parties, there's the activities, there's the things that get us distracted. It's easy to read the headlines and wonder if love really can overcome the darkness and hatred in our world. It's easy to allow worry over tomorrow or next week or next year overwhelm us and keep us from feeling loved. All those things matter. God does not ask you to ignore those things in order to experience His love. You don't have to purge or rid yourself of hurry or worry. He invites you to bring them to Him, to surrender the deepest hurts and concerns of your life to Him, and allow Him to fill you with and renew you with His love. And the good news is that the love He gives through His Son, Jesus Christ, is enough. Apostle Paul puts it this way when he wrote the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation, no headline news, no false news, no fake news, nothing, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This is a powerful love, the most powerful love known. It is the love that cannot be contained or constrained by any power in the universe, not evil, not death, no person. It is a love to be experienced. If we want to go back to our example of a child on Christmas Day, this is not a gift that is accepted and unwrapped and then put on the shelf with an elf. No, this is more like the favorite stuffed animal that is embraced and carried and held on to and loved till its ears worn off. Or a new set of clothes that are put on and worn everywhere. I know these are examples, don't begin to do God's love justice, but they're just to give us an idea of this idea of how much God wants us to hang on to this and experience in the moment His unfailing love. God's love is our lifeblood and the oxygen coursing through us to continually fill us with life. Let this season be one of embracing God's love fully and experiencing His love in a new and deep ways as we continually open our hearts, open our hands, open our minds and our lives to Him. Having accepted His love, we can experience His love. And then we are called to share His love. Ever been in love? Now, I remember before I asked Dana to marry me, she was in Pittsburgh. I was in Reading, Pennsylvania, at the mission headquarters that I was with. They finally just like, stop, Mike. We don't want to hear about Dana anymore. You know, I mean, it's like all I could talk about for months before I asked her to marry me, after we asked her. I mean, it was like all I could do was talk about this woman that I was so madly in love with. It's the way we should be with our love for God, who's so madly in love with you. We've accepted this love, if we've experienced this love, we're walking in that love, then that love should be all that we could talk about. Anybody here get engaged with a Jumbotron? You know, put it up on the screen. You don't have to embarrass me, but you know, I want that kind of excitement, ecstatic. I want people to know about this love that I have for Christ. When we are in love, it shows. We can't help it. Love overflows. The gift of God's love is the same way. It's for sharing. Dana mentioned Justin, a co-worker, has had this experience with God, and we're trying to ground him in the truth, but his first desire was, I got to share this with people. Remember the newborn Christians, how they, that's their natural response, and the older we get in our faith, the less we kind of do that. Stop talking about the one we love. I still love Dana very much. Sharing this gift doesn't leave us with less. It leaves us with more. Once we accept and experience the love of God, the next natural step is to share it, to let it overflow out of us and around us. We just finished 1 John in a series, and in 1 John 4, 9 through 11, we read this. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the satisfactory payment, the atoning sacrifice, who not only appeases God's wrath towards me, but now offers me before God right. It goes on, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God's love comes to us and flows through us. The more we embrace and experience it, the more we share it with others. What does that look like for you this season? It could mean spending quality time with family. It could mean reconnecting with a friend who's drifted away. It might mean serving a neighbor or a stranger or seeking out someone you suspect is lonely or hurting. It might mean forgiving someone who's hurt you. It might mean apologizing to someone you've offended. There are endless ways to allow God's love to flow through you as you love others as he has loved you, including the Walmart checkout line. No, I'm not looking to make an eye contact with anybody. I'm going to hear about that one later. I do love my wife. And I can't stop talking about her. Oh my. Think of one way right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to impress upon you one way that this week you can show the love of God. Who does God want you to show his love to? Commit that to the Lord. Then keep your heart and your eyes open to the world around you as Christmas approaches. This, for some people, is a lonely, desperate, hurting time, because they recognize loss in their lives. So this, among all times, is the time that we need to look out for those around us, to reach out to those around us, to show love, the same love that we have been given. Let's revel in God's love and be known to others by his love flowing out of us. By this, may this be a season of accepting, of experiencing and sharing God's gift of love in a new and a deeper way. Father, we do thank you. We thank you that in this season of Advent, we can unwrap the gift of your love. Help us to accept, experience, and share your love with those this season. Please continue to fill us with expectation as we live in your love and wait for your complete fulfillment of that love. when Christ comes again. I pray in Christ's name.